plenty of IU basketball to talk about tonight as the Hoosiers finally get through that five-game stretch that we talked about early in the season and got through it 2-3 with a big win this weekend over Notre Dame. So we ended on a high note. There's good, there's bad to talk about, and then there's a game tonight to talk about and a little bit of revenge. Unfortunately, to talk about
a lot of revenge
when it comes to Fort Wayne of all teams, but lots to handle tonight. And we'll take your phone calls at 812-333-2665. We're with you until 7:45, and we will turn it over to Monday Night Football. At that point, Atlanta is at Tampa tonight. But before there, we talk IU basketball, and we will start with Saturday's game at the Crossroads Classic, the fifth of the five-game stretch, a very difficult stretch for this Hoosier basketball team. I think everybody knows what Archie Miller is trying to do here. He's just starting out, so he's just putting his program in. Obviously had some, you know, some off season and you know, the summer and that kind of thing, but trying to get his team to play the way he wants them to play against live bullets, so to speak, and pretty darn good teams. And these last five in particular, very challenging, and there was some good and there was some bad and there was some ugly and all in between. But looking at the Notre Dame game, Notre Dame ranked number 18. There is understandably at this point in time a lot of joy in Hoosier land for the victory and the way they pulled it out. And I think that's a lot of it right there, is not only did they get a victory, but the way they pulled it out. Because when you talk about the team the last couple years, I think most everybody has said the same kinds of things they didn't like what they saw, and that was carelessness with the ball on offense, poor shot selection on offense, defense at times that looked indifferent, and at times just looked clueless and really not good at all, and some situational play maybe that the teams didn't like. And what you saw in this Notre Dame game is you saw really good defense. You saw continuing to hit the boards. You saw continuing to make good shot selection. This wasn't the game for 2017 to really maybe talk about turnovers so much, but they didn't kill the Hoosiers in this particular game. So you're starting to see some of those things that everybody knew they wanted to get fixed and wanted to see Archie Miller get fixed. And you saw it much more consistently across a whole 45 minutes because of overtime. And you had to come back from some double-digit deficits. So you think back to 2 years ago, this Notre Dame game up in Indianapolis was a big, big win for that team, too. That team won the Big Ten championship. Not going to project on this. But this just feels like it's a much needed win. I won't call it a big win, but it's a much needed win for this group, and I think a lot for the fans also.
No, and ladies and gentlemen, that's Dave Novak, by the way.
Hi. Glad to meet you.
Glad to be back,
by the way.
I know you're glad to be back. Glad to have you back.
Right back in the saddle.
Just like riding a bike. Well, no, this is great, because no matter how well we played Duke, we lost. No matter how well we played Louisville, mm-hmm. even maybe better,
mm-hmm.
Longer stretches, we lost.
Mm-hmm.
In between there, we stunk the joint up against up at Michigan.
Yep.
And then got a home win against Iowa.
Tried to give away a big lead at Iowa.
Yeah,
against Iowa.
We did. But we gave it away. Yeah. But
put the hammer back down.
And some unbelievable reason figured it all out and went right back up to where we were.
Yeah.
Eventually. This really is huge, because Notre Dame's a good team. At one time, they were like fifth in the country earlier mm-hmm. in the year after mm-hmm. they won the Maui Classic. And this is a club with a lot of veterans. They've got two outstanding players, several pretty good role players. And it's one thing to keep going. You know, I get what the coach is wanting, and you see glimpses. Obviously, the defense is vastly better. I mean, and it's been there, other than probably the Indiana State game, moving forward, at least from the Duke game on. This five-game stretch, our defense has not been bad.
No.
Duke got 91,
but we
got 81, too. So, I mean,
nobody played any defense today.
Not as much as needed. But, yeah, to actually get a victory – with using the principles that Archie's wanting them to use, stubborn defense, still too many turnovers, and we'll get into that in one guy in particular here soon. It's great. You've got to get a win to really understand. And a good win. I mean, I was a conference win. We got to have a conference. You can't lose conference games at home. I don't care who it is. You steal one on the road when you can, and that's going to start really two hard ones when we get back into conference here in another week or so. But, yeah, it's great. I mean, it's good for the fans. It obviously was a huge Hoosier fan turnout, as we knew it would be, up at BLF. And great. We needed it. Signature, I don't know if Notre Dame was still fifth in the country. That'd be more signature than 18.
Yeah, see, I want to temper a lot here right now because of several things. And one of them was what bothered me to a degree about going back to the Duke game and the reaction to the Duke game. And I heard a little bit of reaction in a similar way to this Notre Dame game. First of all, this was a great win. This is a great win. They were gutty. They were undermanned. They did so without their fifth-year senior point guard for the majority of the game because he got in foul trouble with some dumb fouls. But, you know, he got him, so he got out, you know, taken out of the game. That doesn't help anybody out when you have to deal with that. Daron Davis was a non-factor for pretty much the entire game, which, you know, you figure you could deal without Josh. But Daron's got to be in there. He's got to be dominant. He's got to be drawing people. He's got to be opening up shooters. I mean, when you think about IU basketball right now, that's what you think has got to happen. But the way Juwan Morgan has been playing has been fantastic. He was named Big Ten Player of the Week just today also, so he's getting his due, which is well-deserved, 34 points.
And, absolutely.
And double-double. He was just phenomenal this weekend. So it is a very, very good win, and it shows a lot of great things. Now, it's a nice occasion for a bunch of national writers to come and finally look at Indiana under Archie Miller and say a bunch of crap. I saw a headline that really irritated me, and I get irritated easily, you know this. But it was, this is the kind of game that Indiana brought Archie Miller in for.
Yes, I saw that.
Look, I want to make it real clear. The kind of game that we brought Archie Miller in for is the Duke game in the end of March. Okay?
Right.
That's the kind of game that we brought a new coach in for. Not to go up to Indianapolis in November or December and beat a state school. It's a good Notre Dame team. I respect that team. I like that team. It's still a top 20 team. It's not Duke. Okay. You brought Archie Miller in to do a hell of a lot more than just win this game. So, you know, let's back it down a little bit here. And my favorite part about this entire thing is the guy who's at the top or at the front of that train pulling the horn on that exact same message is Archie Miller. He's telling people, let's calm down here. Let's get back on off the clouds. We've got another game, and then we've got another one right away. And, you know, this, and in a week and a half here, we're going to be in Big Ten season, and it's going to be all very hard. You know, so he's got it. I mean, he's certainly has got it and is trying to get his team back on it. But that's been driving me nuts a little bit too much. I made this in a point on the blog that I do. This is not the team that Tom Crean took over with Kyle Tabor that was as the only scholarship player coming back to a team. This team has some talent on it. You should be able to win some games. You're not going to win all five of those games in a row. That would have been ridiculous with this team. But 2-3 was very doable. 3-2 was very doable. 4-1 wouldn't have been out of the question. So just because we beat Notre Dame doesn't mean to me everything's hunky-dory perfect. Well, I love the game. Love the outcome. Love the way they played. I mean, how could you not? There is a lot of work still to be done, and you got to prove it week after week, day after day, game after game. And they got another chance tonight only 2 days after and going up again against the team last year that punched you in the mouth. And that shouldn't have punched you in the mouth, but they did. They punched you in the mouth over and over and over and over, and here they are coming to town tonight. Not that I'm scared of Fort Wayne, but these are the tests you're going to have all year long. It's a long way before you're talking about the Archie Miller has done something. And again, this isn't an insult to Archie Miller. I think he's a great coach. It's just everything seems to be on rails going up this hill so fast. It's like, hold on, folks. There's a lot to be done right now.
Yeah, it's not. I look at it going upward, but I don't look at it going at much of a pace, to be honest. Yeah, and even one, I won't even mention the name of the website that I may just unfollow on Twitter because they tick me off so much with it's never anything but negativity. And this person keeps continuous pounding Tom Crean. And what type of players did you leave us with? And what are you thinking? And this was during the first half when we're down 14. He had to turn around and talk out of the other side of his arse by the end of the game. And all of a sudden, of course, it had nothing to do with Crean's players that was left. It was all Archie.
Yeah.
So that's all fine and good. It's a little bit of both. Like you just said, we got plenty of people here to play. I'd love to have James Blackman to sit out there and shoot open shots, but he's not here.
Well, that's the obvious thing this team is missing right now.
A really good knockdown shooter.
Yeah.
But no, it's great. Good win. I like what Archie said. Hey, that's fine. We play Monday night. Mm-hmm. And Monday night, I'll bring it up that they got beat by these guys last year.
Yeah.
And the two guys that were the biggest thorn in our sides are back. That'll be there tonight.
That's right.
The Scott kid and Conkar. And Conkar's, or Conchar, I can't remember how you pronounce his name.
Now, hopefully we don't have to hear it tonight.
He is Zach McRoberts, who can score, can jump a little higher, score the basketball, and makes all of those same plays. And he killed us last year.
Again, we're with you until 7:45 tonight, so we got time to talk a lot of IU basketball, and we will do that. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talking IU basketball. They tip off tonight, 8 o'clock on BTN. Fort Wayne is in town. You might remember Fort Wayne from last year's debacle in Fort Wayne. They so famously named it after the place. Just a huge upset. Hoosiers somehow got it into overtime after being down, I think, double figures. It was just embarrassing. And it was after a pretty nice win, if I remember correctly, for the Hoosiers.
I believe that was Kansas.
Yeah, or North Carolina or somebody. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I think we lost. I don't have that schedule in front of me from last year, but I think the North Carolina win in the ACC Challenge was after.
It was later.
The Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
To where, and of course it doesn't fall that way this year, obviously, but
right.
I think it was early enough.
Yeah, because we were a top five team in that game.
Like number three. And so we lose and get a couple and then just obliterate North Carolina that made everybody forget about Fort Wayne.
Well, let's go back to this weekend. And you know, I haven't been on the air for a couple weeks, so I want to incorporate all five of these games in here because, you know, I was looking at this ahead of time. You had to look at the schedule. This was going to be a crucial stretch of games because there's only, about 2.5 weeks that these games were in. A couple of them were even tighter than that. So you have the Duke game. And, you know, look, give the team credit for playing offensively, playing well offensively, playing smart offensively, not turning the ball over offensively. Give them credit for not giving Duke a lot of easy stuff, but Duke still put 91 points up on you and beat you by 10. At the end of the day, they outclassed you, okay, on your home court. That's why I don't look at the Duke game and I go, wow, you know, great job, guys, you know, real close. No, we beat North Carolina on our home court, number three in the nation last year. That team, you're good enough to do better than that, okay? So I get it. There's changes. I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. But that's why that's not going to be a positive to me that I'm going to freak out about. You go to Michigan, you stink the joint up for most of it. Now, you do have a couple stretches in there where you come back, you work hard, and you're seeing that what this is coming down to over and over, the repeating theme seems to be getting Juwan Morgan involved. and not necessarily getting Juwan Morgan involved in a let's post him up and call a bunch of plays for Juwan Morgan kind of way, but in a way that does get him in the lane, in and around the boards, getting it into Deron Davis, attacking the basket, and giving Juwan Morgan chances to do what he does best. And from the day that Juwan Morgan walked on campus, he has been able to defensively play very good positional defense without fouling, which is huge down low. And he has just continued to develop an inside game as far as a post game and phenomenal footwork. And what's interesting to me now is we have two inside guys with Davis and Morgan who have the best hands, the strongest hands of guys, of our big guys that we've had in the last, I'll say, decade or so. Now, we had some good shooters. We had some excellent, excellent big guy players. I mean, Thomas Bryant, Cody Zeller, Noah Vonleh. I mean, these are excellent players. But what always drove me nuts about them is that how easily they lost the ball out of their hands down low. These two guys doesn't happen to. These two guys, they post you up, they bounce you around, they get around you, and yeah. they don't lose the ball very often with their hands. They are fantastic with both their feet and their hands. And when there are times that the Hoosiers need to turn things around, that's what they go to.
Yeah, and that's great. And I always, you spoke in particular, you talking about Bryant and Cody, that we never could get the ball to down low.
Right.
Or at least nobody ever thought we could get it to him. And we weren't either of Cody's years good low-post feeding teams.
Yeah.
We played a little bit more wide-open style in Bryant's 2 years, and he did get the ball at times, but was more wanted to be outside. So this is great that we've got these two. In the other night's game, the only reason that Deron Davis wasn't in there, he got two quick fouls. Notre Dame frequently has the two guys at 6'10 that they bring in and out, Cooley and then the other guy that started, Gebben. But they don't play him much. They always sub in one of the other two guys to run faster, to move around. And Deron had nobody to guard.
Yeah.
If we would have left him in, there's absolutely nobody he could have matched up in. So every time I noticed they brought him back, if we brought both of our guys in, Bray would take one of their bigs out and almost force Archie, get rid of one of them.
Go small, yeah.
And we had to get rid of Deron,
yeah,
because there was no reason trying to put him on Bonzi Colson because he can't guard him.
It's interesting right now that there are times, you know, in the Notre Dame game was the major game that has seen this. The other games, not so much, where knowing we've got a limitation in our front court, we've still had to remove one of our two players to be able to play properly, you know, to be able to match up properly. I never would have thought going into these games that we'd have to take one of Morgan or Davis off the floor in order to match up against them. We don't have a lot of big guys anyways. This is the part of the show where we give Josh McRoberts and Colin Hartman a ton of credit right this minute. We never knew, you know, how much time Colin was going to be able to play, you know, in a given game or any games for that matter. He played 29 minutes the other night, which coming off the injuries, I mean, that's fantastic. Zach McRoberts played 31 minutes. Freddie McSwain, he has seen his time kind of go away. Justin Smith's time has completely evaporated. But Josh McRoberts made a lot of just winning plays, and Colin Hartman, same exact thing. And it wasn't always, you know, anything amazing, but, you know, being in the right spots, you know, getting your hand in between a couple of, you know, other hands just to knock a ball up in the air, those sorts of things made a big difference. And hell, at the end of this game, it was a difference in the game because of the big rebound. He went over Bonzi Colson, did it perfectly, didn't touch him. He's right behind him. He didn't touch him.
He did not
lay a hand on Bonzi Colson's back, just simply went up, got the ball over the top of him, and fed it perfectly to Morgan while he's falling down. There you go.
I think Colson just mistimed it because he went right up over the top of him. Mm-hmm. And Colson had him blocked out. He just went over. He just jumped quicker than Colson did, essentially. The other big guy was Mooney. I was going back to the Cooley era of Notre Dame, which there was. I mean, I'm just talking about big uglies.
They got a lot of those.
They do always have a couple.
Yeah.
But this is what I liked with Mick Roberts and Colin Hartman is we're forced to go a little different. So everybody's saying, well, Mike Bray, he got Archie on that one. No, Archie had, he had the weapons. He let them both play together. He let Mick Roberts play a lot with the other starters.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, they're both 6'6", 6'7". I mean, they and long arms, both of them. They both know how to play. Collins, obviously, a much better shooter. I don't mind any time he takes a three.
Yep.
He did take one forced one, but other than that, he's pretty dependable.
Yeah, as long as he's not, I think he falls back sometimes, and that screws him up. But
one he got in the second half that was even Jimmy Jackson, that was a little bit forced. And, well,
yeah.
He bobbled the ball and mm-hmm. then went ahead and shot it instead of just re-catching it. Maybe I don't think it was a shot clock issue.
No, it was early.
Think he was open, mm-hmm. and he thought, I got this. Oops, I've still got it, and yeah. he shouldn't have shot it. So, you know, this is great. I don't care who plays as long as you're getting that type of effort. And that's the way Zach McRoberts played at Carmel. And the kid won two state championships,
mm-hmm.
junior and senior year. He was their leading scorer and leading rebounder. I mean, he was not a three-point shooter. He could go out and shoot from the perimeter, 15 feet, you know, mid-range sort of stuff. He got rebounds. He got putbacks. He got dunks. He made passes to people. He just made all the plays. He filled all the stat book. And then, buddy, 6'6", skinny kid from Indiana. He went to Vermont, and he even had some games of 11 rebounds in
yep.
Vermont his freshman year before he transferred here intending to stop playing basketball, sat out a year, and then Tom Crean talked him into coming back.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's here. I mean, and now Archie, you know, you can see the kids are getting it. And Archie's now finding out who's getting it.
Right.
And how he can play who's getting it.
Well, and I'm going to stop you for a second there and say let's be careful because it is December 18th and there are guys that are getting it. And like you see with the basketball season, it's a long season. There are guys that are not getting it, that are guys that are ebbing and flowing. A couple weeks ago, before I took up my hiatus, we were talking about Freddie McSwain and how efficient Freddie McSwain was managing to be in 12 minutes a game. I mean, getting 8-9 rebounds every time out in 12 minutes of play. That's how good Freddie McSwain was doing when he was in. He's barely getting any time. Justin Smith had some real key minutes early in the season. Justin Smith's barely getting off the bench right now. Zach McRoberts and Colin Hartman played for 60 combined minutes. Freddie McSwain played for 3. Justin Smith barely got on the floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's ebbs and there's flows. Curtis Jones, obviously, gone. He never did quite get this. So he's gone at this point in time. And Devontae Green, there's times. You know, there's times with him. There's a lot to like with Devontae Green. And as long as right now, I think you're willing to watch him figure some of it out and still give him a little of freedom on the floor, then you'll see plenty of him. As long as he's not too wild. So far, so good. But there are times where it's clear that Archie's patience maybe isn't quite all there with Devontae Green. And then he has times where he says, you know what, go out there and take the ball and take over because we know you can do it. So there are ebbs and flows like you would expect. What scares me a little bit right this minute is not feeling Deron Davis right now. Early in the season, loved the way he was playing. Very much disappeared in this game. Now, there was a key bucket late in the game. You know, I think his only bucket of the game, in fact.
Yes.
They stuck him in late in the game for on one possession, coming out of a timeout, posted him up, gets a bucket, and I think a free throw.
He missed the free throw. Yeah, he got fouled.
But he did have the and one situation. I love the way the guy plays. It's just, to me, this team long term, they're going to, they have to have more on a regular basis out of Deron Davis. And sure, if Juwan Morgan's going to give you 34, that's great. But Juwan's probably not going to give you 34 every night.
I wouldn't think
so. And if he's doing that, it's only because Deron isn't giving you much.
When you look at the makeup of most of the Big Ten teams we're going to face, you're going to find somebody that's major And a lot of times in Michigan State's case, in Minnesota's case, and even Wisconsin with just Ethan Happ by himself, DeRon's going to have his matchups all throughout the season. Right. He didn't have a matchup Saturday. As soon as they took either Gebbin or Mooney out, and Mooney most of the time just plays outside anyway, but the minute, you know, his two early fouls took him out first.
Yeah.
And then after that, he hardly played at all because I think it probably would have benefited Notre Dame immensely if him and Morgan were trying to share the middle, because there's not enough room.
Yeah.
And Mike Bray might have just out-coached or overthought it, and all he did was he took the guy out that is the lesser athlete by changing his matchups, and our two guys that were our lesser athletes at 6'6", 6'7", outplayed his guys is what it amounted to. Yeah. And Morgan outplayed everybody.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the way Juwan's been playing recently, we've been wondering who would be a leader. Would you get leadership out of anyone on this team? Who would that be? When you hear Juwan Morgan talk, I don't at least immediately think this guy's the vocal guy everybody's following around. But you know what? You dump it into the post on him, and he's bouncing through guys like Bonzi Colson and getting and-ones and the defense that he plays. And you can see the way they react to him when they come into those huddles after the plays he makes. It's pretty clear, you know, who everybody's revolving around right now, and it is Juwan Morgan. I mean, he seems to me like he's kind of taken over the heart of the team.
No doubt. I cannot disagree. And it's good, because if he didn't, we would probably have at least one less win than we have right now, if not two.
812-333-2665 is the phone number. So, again, after the Michigan game, quick turnaround. That was a Saturday, Monday. Again, we're going to have more interesting kind of versions of those later on in the season, and that's not too far away here in the Big Ten season. And Iowa comes to town. One of the things that bugs me a little bit about these five games and the fact that we're 2-3 in these games, not that that's horrible, but because, you know, I mean, they're all tough enough teams, you know. Duke is Duke. I mean, I know they got beat by Boston College, but I mean, this is a top five, top 10 team. There's no question about that whatsoever. I'm not sure how good Notre Dame is at the end of the year. I don't know. I think it's a tough veteran team. I think it's a tournament ready team.
Yeah.
You know, it might not be playing its best right now. They just got beat by Ball State. I think it was right before we played them.
They've lost two straight now, and they were undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, that was at home. That was a late thing by Ball State, and Ball State's nothing to write home about. Michigan has had its struggles this season already, and Iowa has had some major, major struggles already. They had a nice game, a big win this weekend, but they have not been very good for much of the season. So, and then Louisville, I mean, Louisville with the whole Rick Pitino, situation. When I looked at this schedule at the beginning, I thought, holy crap, this is going to be really, really, really hard. And it was not easy. But I don't think any of these teams other than Duke lived up to what I thought at the beginning of the season they were going to be. And that's why when I say 2-3 is a little disappointing to me, it's because the way I've seen Michigan play this year, I thought they were gettable. You know, I did. And Louisville, you never know how a team's going to react to something like the Pitino thing that happened. But usually what happens is there's a little bit of a lot of times at least, there is a fragility to the team when that sort of thing happens.
Yeah.
Which means they're gettable. And, you know, they didn't play well. I did not play well up in Michigan. Played okay at Louisville at stretches. So that one to me is disappointing. The Iowa game kind of stands out as the game where it's like, you know what, that's the one where you put the foot down. You got the confidence back in the middle. You found the confidence back in the middle when you needed it and put the foot down. That one to me is the worst team of the group, but it may be kind of the most interesting and impressive way that they did it just simply because of what they allowed themselves to get into and how quickly they got out of it and how dramatically they got out of it.
Yeah, and you go to Michigan, that's exactly how we started off up there last year. I think last year it was 14-2. We were down. This year it was 12-2.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't come out and give those guys open shots, that open of shots. We missed a few, and it just snowballed. And then you get it to within five. Mm-hmm. An 8-0 run, you're down 13, 8-0 run in the second half. And probably at that point, as Boeheim usually does, he probably called a key timeout, and then they went right on an 8-0 run themselves, or 9-0, and we were down 13 or 14 again within minutes after we had cut it. We didn't get that next stop. Like you and I talked before the Duke game, if you get a hit, you've got to get a stop and then try mm-hmm. to score again. That's how you make combinations. If you don't get a stop, then you damn well better score on your next possession type of thing. We consistently did not do that up at Michigan.
I want to ask you about that game in particular because it doesn't feel like we've faced since we got destroyed by Indiana State on our home floor because of the 3-point shot. But Michigan is the other team so far that really stretches you out mm-hmm. and can make you pay at all the positions from outside there. How with the pack line defense, where supposedly you're supposed to be in the lane taking the stuff away. And Glass and I talk about this all the time. He always says, hey, look, what would you rather have? Would you rather make them give an easy two or make them try to make a three? And the answer is always make them try to make a three. Well, what happens if the raining threes on you and your defense says stick your right foot in the lane at all times? I mean, what is the adjustment to that? At some point in time, is that going away from your principles? I mean, don't you have to stretch it?
Yeah, it's hard to do depending on a lot of it is just no matter where you are, if a shooter gets a ball on your side of the floor, you've got to close. That pack line defense does not mean you are going to stay with a foot in there
sure.
while this guy gets it wide open. A lot of it is playing off the ball on the weak side, away, and cheating into the lane. Once they reverse it, you better have that guy covered in the corner
mm-hmm.
or up at the 26-foot line. You better have him covered. Then what happens is you want them to try to get the ball in the middle, and you've got coverage in the middle, and you should still have guys that can, if the pass gets out, you've got, the thing is, you just got to move. You can't turn your head and watch the ball. You've got to move when the ball moves. And this is our first year of trying it. It's our first 11 games of trying it.
Yeah.
We're getting better. But it's still a work in progress. We have the parts. We have the capabilities of doing it. But you don't master anything after 11 games.
Nobody goes undefeated anymore.
Nope.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Much more IU basketball when we get back from the break. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. A couple of quick programming notes with you. Again, we're with you until 7:45. Well, we'll turn it over to Monday Night Football's pregame. Atlanta is at Tampa tonight. Our high school basketball season continues again on Friday night as Sullivan visits Edgewood. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk for that game. And then the interesting part of our weekend will be that the Colts game is on Saturday this week. 3:30 will be the pregame on Saturday for the Colts at Baltimore. So we got something a little strange for you this weekend. But there will be football Saturday, Sunday, and Christmas Monday if you'd like to listen to some NFL all weekend long. We'll have it every day for you. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. So the second half against Iowa, Hoosiers allow Iowa to make a bit of a comeback. It was It wasn't a huge deficit at halftime, but Iowa makes it a 2-point game or 3-point game. But immediately, Indiana puts down the defense, gets the ball into the paint, makes a couple 3-pointers. You know, in the past, we've had to say that we need to make 3-pointers to win basketball games. We haven't had to do that. Now, it helps. Certainly helped in the second half against Notre Dame. But I have yet to go out of a game and say, damn, this team, made a whole ton of threes, and thank God we got all these 3 points. Maybe that's because we're missing a lot of them.
Yeah.
But we're managing to score a pretty good amount of points here in some of these games without having to rely on something like that. It's mostly, to me, it appears, and you correct me if I'm wrong, they really move the ball well. They're unselfish with the ball. They keep the ball moving quickly. The ball doesn't stop a whole hell of a lot anymore in this offense. And Devontae Green will occasionally get himself in a bad spot. But, the only place it stops is when they get it into Duran or Juwan, which is what they want. They want him to stop there and want him to post up and get a basket.
Yeah, no, they do move the ball around pretty good. I still like to see us drive the ball more, which occasionally you'll see one of our guards do. Al Durham more so than probably most. Devontae next. But we move the ball well. The other thing that I've been very pleasantly surprised with is our rebounding in all these games.
Yeah.
Even the Duke game, where they were so much taller. That's very welcome, because we're going to run into some pretty good rebounding teams in the Big Ten coming up, pretty soon. These guys are not reliant on the three like we were, definitely last year and probably the year before our Big Ten championship. We were because we had Yogi and Zeisloff then, plus Biefeldt could step out. Mm-hmm. And then you had James, you had Robert, you had five guys.
Yeah.
I know, we had Bryant would occasionally go out there, but I'd rather, we didn't want him out there.
That's how we're
we didn't
going
want
for.
Him out there, but yeah. So yeah, that's good, because in Archie's offense, you're going to get some threes.
Yeah.
This year we've not consistently made them. We did against Iowa. We hit some timely ones against Duke, but all in all, Duke nor us either one shot a fantastic percentage.
Yeah.
So, and again, I still maintain that we have a couple of capable shooters. I'm about to take Al Durham off that list after two straight air balls Saturday. And I mean, I don't get that. You should, I can get somebody opened a door at Banker's Life and suck the wind. But the second one, you should be able to make an adjustment to.
Well, Robert Johnson did.
Yeah.
That was the nice part also is, I think everybody in Hoosier land is just holding out hope that Robert Johnson grabs the reins of this team. And it's not that we have to have it be him, but he's got so much experience. He has those moments where he can be so streaky shooting the ball well. He gets to the basket very well. He's got good body control. Defensively, he's worlds better. Than he has been in the past, and probably a little unfairly in the past because as a group they weren't very good the last couple of years, but there was some decent individual play, but he's been much better there. It was really nice to see that in the second half, and I know everybody points to Juwan Morgan, deservedly so. Down the stretch, he was the man, but it's so important was the plays that Robert Johnson was able to make also. Because you've got senior guards, and that's the thing that kind of drives me crazy. Again, coming out of these five games, I'm not saying, damn, our senior guards, that's what we expected at the beginning of the season, and if they didn't win us a game, we didn't expect to go win it. No, we're talking about somebody else, being the star of the show, and it's fine. I mean, anybody can be the star of the show, but you want the senior guards to be taking charge. That's why you want those guys.
Well, that's exactly right, that their experience, is just so useful and paramount when you've got a lot of other younger guys that you're trying to teach how to play, and all of them, except for the three freshmen, are playing a brand new system, and mm-hmm. The three freshmen are first-year college kids, so they're just doing their heads are spinning anyway. And Durham seems to be the only one right now that's constantly getting time, and he's been starting. And Glass and I talked about it all last week. It's just, Robert Johnson's a good shooter. He's not going to go all year long in these funks. Hopefully, and we also both said he'd have a good game up there because he was paramount in the comeback 2 years ago because he had a great game at Bankers Life against Notre Dame.
Yep.
Let's just hope, A, it's not Bankers Life, and B, it's not just Notre Dame because
right.
We've got some huge games coming up, and especially the first two Big Ten games are on the road.
Well, and he was coming off the Nofer down in Louisville in 35 minutes of play.
And can't have it.
You can't have it. I mean, you can't. And we know how good he can be because we've seen it. But we also know now, over time, too, how streaky he can be. So we all keep holding out hope, and I'm not sure we're ever going to be completely satisfied with what we want out of that. And we just got to hope you get, a really nice contribution out of Robert most nights. But the second half, it was certainly a great contribution. You're looking at the next couple games. And there's not a loss in there. Certainly better not be. It's Fort Wayne tonight. It's Tennessee Tech later this week. And then next week it's Youngstown State. But you start off right away on the road with a couple tough teams in the Big Ten. And you go to Wisconsin, who's – if something's going on with Wisconsin, and I don't know what it is.
They don't have any talent anymore.
Well, I guess not.
And the great and powerful Bo Ryan is not there to pull them through.
If that's what it is, then I'm all for it. But then Minnesota may be the second best team in the Big Ten right now. So you head up there pretty quickly for that. So out of these three games, based on what you've seen now, again, I'm happy about the Notre Dame game. But it feels to me like there's a lot of work you still need to get done in these next three games because it's Big Ten after that. It's all Big Ten after that. And no, the Big Ten isn't great this year by any stretch. And let's be fair, IU's not going to win it, the Big Ten. But there's no reason based on it that they couldn't be fourth or fifth best team in the conference at the end of the year. I mean,
it's possible. Yeah.
I know nobody picked them anywhere, but you look at the rest of this conference and I'm not seeing it. I'm just not. I know there's some talent out there. Purdue's good. Michigan State is really good. Minnesota's good. Northwestern could be good. Ohio State is kind of surprising people, but there's no reason that if Indiana does this what they did the other night on a regular basis that we shouldn't be talking about a pretty nice finish, not just a hey, we had a couple plucky efforts and yay team, let's look at next year.
There's chances every bit because a couple of teams north Minnesota should have beat the other night at home. I was watching that game and they were awful. Northwestern's not playing like they want to go back to the NCAA tournament right now.
No, they finally, the last couple games, maybe.
Maryland, same. Illinois stinks. Ohio State, a little better than I thought, but cream's going to fall there because they don't have that much talent.
We got to take a quick break, but we'll be back after the top of the hour, so don't go anywhere. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the red zone here with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. We're talking IU basketball, among other things, tonight. They tip off at 8 o'clock over at Assembly Hall, looking for revenge against Fort Wayne, the dreaded mastodons of Fort Wayne. We owe them.
That's right.
Which is ridiculous, but is the case. So we'll try to get it tonight. But coming off a big victory in overtime over Notre Dame on the weekend, and it seems like weird stuff's always happening at that Crossroads Classic, but always good games, always interesting games. So we get through these five games, and now we've got these three. Fort Wayne, Tennessee Tech, Youngstown State. Tennessee Tech and Youngstown State, if you go by KenPom, I think they both stink. I'm not sure where Fort Wayne is. They're a little bit better, but tonight will be a test. I mean, tonight will be a decent game at least. Yeah. The other two games, you need to kind of nuke them. But based on what you've seen right now, what do you want to see this team working on each side of the ball on each of these three? And I mention it this way because that's what it ought to be, or what are we working on? And I also heard, tonight Michigan State's playing right now. Same thing happened. John Crispin asked, Tom Izzo, said, I mean, what do you want to work on? What do you want to get out of these particular games? I mean, what does this team need to be doing differently right now, or changing, or getting better at?
Yeah, I think one thing is just continue to hustle. Don't look, as the illustrious Robert Montgomery used to tell you, don't look at the scoreboard. Just play. Mm-hmm. We don't care what the scoreboard says. We're going to play. Defense. Work on going in and multiple stops in a row. I mean, he ought to just sit there and goes, I want sometime today, I want in both halves, 5 stops. Mm-hmm. I mean, that may be too simplistic. It may be something Archie doesn't say. But I think that would be one thing, is we need to really work on locking down. I like our rebounding. We're rebounding the ball good. I want to work on locking down people, deflecting the ball, staying within our principles, and get me multiple stops. Not one, and then we go score, and they come down and score again. Then we get one. I want 2, 3, 4. I want some. I want a distinctive run of defensive stops. And then we go run the ball down the floor and see how much we can score off of them. It's just like you got to give them a challenge of something.
Yeah.
Do it. I mean, and a lot of times that's fun. That's fun for them to try to do. I want to see us continue to run the offense, and hopefully we get a couple guys can actually hit some open shots. And I don't care if they're threes or 14-footers, mid-range, elbow stuff after you've moved the ball. I mean, I don't know how many times – I don't know what Fort Wayne's going to – if they're – you know, they're probably going to play some zone. Good. Let's just continue to work on our zone a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was shocked that Notre Dame played as much zone as they did, and we handled it well.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a good job against it. For all three of these – he may come up with something different for all of them. I don't know that – I never used to watch Dayton enough. I was never really thought of Archie as the next IU coach, even the last couple of years. I mean, we won 2 out of 4 Big Ten championships. I wasn't looking at losing a coach. I wonder if he ever goes with half court, just picking up man-to-man, trying to force the pace a little bit, which sometimes you have to do when you're behind. I'm just wondering if he might, in one of these three games, just push the tempo a little bit from the defensive side. You're down 10. I mean, you can do this in a real game, sure. In a game you're going to win. You're down 10 now. Don't look at the scoreboard. We're not up 14. You're down 10.
Right.
I want to see if you can cut this in half in the next 4 minutes. Before we take the next timeout, I want that lead at 4 or 5 points before we come back. I mean, it sounds stupid, it sounds corny, but I guarantee you coaches want to do head games like that. They want to do something to keep the players engaged. In three games against lesser opponents, you're not going to have the crowd.
No.
The students aren't there. It's not going to be loud. This is what he even said it himself not long ago during the earlier games in the break. We need to force our own excitement. We need to make the people that are here get up and yell, and that comes from our play.
Holiday crowds are traditionally pretty quiet unless there's a big time opponent, which a lot of times there aren't around the holidays.
This would be the biggest one of the three that's coming in because they beat us last year.
Yeah, I will give them credit. The crowds, around Thanksgiving time, Arkansas State and Eastern Michigan, I thought were pretty darn good.
Yeah,
I mean, they're sitting on their hands and they're just they're chattering, but they're pretty good in that game. But you're right. I mean, you're not going to have those big crowds behind you in these couple games. You shouldn't need it. I mean, you shouldn't. You shouldn't need it. What I did find interesting, what Tom Izzo said about their game tonight, Houston Baptist is who they're playing tonight, and I think I looked them up on Ken Palm, and they're in the neighborhood of three-something or other out of 350 teams. They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
We played them last year, by the way. I mean, just to...
Yes, we did.
Just to be fair about that. He said, don't play the jersey. Said, I don't want you playing the jersey. I don't want you to play in the jersey when it's Duke in Kansas either. I want you to play. I don't want you playing the jersey tonight. So we, that's the important thing, is not just playing to the jersey, because you see that all the time, is just playing up, playing down. Who is it? Take the night off. Yada yada yada. Now, this is the game the last couple of years when, we would have gotten flying, alley oop attempts off the backboard and kind of crap like that. I'm with you though. I mean, to me, it's more about the fundamental side of it, and trying to hone that up, because you are coming off a game that had 16 turnovers, and we've been much worse than that in the not too distant past. In fact, I think both teams had 20 in that Indiana State game, but 16 is still more than
too
most
much.
People are comfortable with.
Too much.
So yeah. That is, look, I think that's the way to go. From that standpoint, after that, we get to the new year and you look at Wisconsin, Minnesota, Penn State, Northwest. It happens fast. I mean, it is, when you look at this, I don't know if you've looked at it recently, but it happens fast.
I have it right in front of me as you speak.
The first, the sixth, the ninth, the 14th, the 19th, the 22nd, the 24th. I mean, some of this is ridiculous. Let's see, do Michigan State on the 19th on the road, then come home to Maryland on the 22nd. Illinois on the 24th over there, Purdue on the 28th here, Ohio State on the 30th there, and Michigan State here on the 3rd. 2 days later, you got Rutgers. I mean, there's some ridiculous turnarounds in
several
Big Ten
Friday
this year.
Games in here too, which that's a high school night. The Big Ten doesn't need to be playing on Friday nights.
I don't like
but
that either.
Regardless, it comes fast and furious. The turnover thing. If I may go back to that a minute, and because one in particular, Robert Johnson, there are lines on the court for a reason. And I can tell you, and I never, ever in all my years of playing, whether it was high school, whether it was trying to walk on over at Indiana State, whether it was City League, YMCA, I never, ever got so far out on the corner, even with a three-point line, that I'm stepping out of bounds. Give me a break. He did three of his six turnovers.
Stepping
out of bounds. Two of them in the same spot.
Yeah.
And the third one, and Clark, and Jimmy Jackson, what's the second time? No, Jimmy, it was the third time. He did the other one in front of the IU bench. I'm sorry. That's inexcusable. But here, after saying that, you see it in the NBA.
Yeah,
you see it in other college games. Everybody thinks, I've got to be behind that three-point line.
Yeah.
And they're not even thinking about the line that's the most important is the out-of-bounds line.
I've got a problem with that stretch of that Notre Dame game right there that you're talking about. Luckily, I think that play was basically the end of it. But it was Devontae Green making three mistakes in a row that cost Indiana late in the game. And, they overcame it. And he made a three-pointer not long after that certainly helped overcome it. But he came down, he got himself up in the air in the middle of the lane with nothing to do, and shot a ball
that barely
hit the rim.
Yeah.
Fouled the guy who rebounded it.
Yes.
Who went back in the other end. And I don't remember how many.
It
was
Bonzi
free
Colson,
throws or not.
Too.
Yeah. So goofy getting in the air, bad shot, didn't get the rebound, made the foul on the rebound. Next time, it was either next time down or the time after that is the play that you're talking about. And it's Devontae Green, and he's in front of the IU bench. He is basically right in front of Archie Miller because he's in that kind of elbow extended area of the three-point line, and he makes a pass over the top of everybody into the far corner to Robert Johnson, to the point where Robert Johnson is skying up in the air, legs flailing just to even get to the ball, and he came down out of bounds. So to me, that's a stretch right there, and I tweeted about it at the time. It's a stretch right there where Devontae Green made some significant mistakes at a really bad time, made up for it, played great. How much rope does somebody like that get? He's a sophomore. He's got some cockiness and some wiggle to him that I don't think you teach. I think you just got to have that kind of confidence. But there are times, and he's showing it this year, and he might be the biggest defender of it at, some, a good bit of the time, where he's getting in some bad spots, some bad turnovers, getting into double teams, they shouldn't be into, taking, making some ridiculous passes. How much rope should he get?
Well, he'll give him a little, but you also know he takes him right out. And he's taking out Josh, and he's taking out Robert, and he's taking out Al. All Jammy, or however, whatever you want to call, whatever he's changed his name to. No, he'll give it to him, but he's going to take him out, and he'll let him sit, and then he'll put him back in and see, are you going to do it again? And if he does it again, he'll take him back out. That's the one thing that is old school and I like about Archie is that he's trying to teach something here, and that's what they used to do in my day. You had your chance. I told you. You did it anyway. You can sit here and watch for a minute and see if you figure it out.
Right.
And you get another chance.
Yeah, don't do that again.
Don't do it again.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note again for you. We are with you until 7:45, and we'll turn it over to pregame for Monday Night Football. Atlanta is at Tampa tonight. On Friday, we go back to the hardwood for our signature event of the winter, and that is, of course, high school basketball. Sullivan is at Edgewood on Friday night. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk, and tip-off will be about 7:30 or so. Our Colts broadcast will be Saturday as they play at Baltimore. Saturday, 3:30 is the pregame for Bob Lamy and the Colts, who found a way yet again the other night to lose a game late. Not that any of this is surprising at this point anymore. 3-11. Jacksonville clinched the division, which is amazing to everybody. Denver again played with them for a while. At the end of the day, make another, a couple more dumb plays down the stretch. Somehow get Brock Osweiler's best game in 3 years. I mean,
only against the Colts.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I mean, it really is. It's luckily there's two more games left, and then an off season of a lot more turnover. I don't think there's any question about that side of things. But the biggest question, of course, will be Andrew Luck and how he's doing. It is frightening to me in the long term, from the standpoint of his commitment to this organization, that he has spent all this time in Europe. I get this seems to be a fashionable thing nowadays, but I'm also scared of all the stupid stuff that this organization had been doing kind of around him for a couple of years. And if he's so quick to be, taken off and going somewhere else to get the help that he needs, it concerns me a bit because it just makes me wonder where his head's at.
He's a little different anyway, a little quirky, perhaps. He did not go to one of the world-renowned shoulder specialists to have his shoulder fixed. He went out to L.A. or to the West Coast to a surgeon he was familiar with from his Stanford days. I mean, which mean, I'm sure the guy's outstanding, but something's happened, and let's just hope we can fix him before next year.
Well, let's hope.
At least you got a decent backup sign this time.
Yeah, let's hope we can fix everything else too.
Oh, because yeah. There's a lot of things that need fixing with the Colts.
There is, and you know, and a lot of questions to be answered in the off season. On the other side of town, I suppose, though, or at least up the street, there's something interesting going on, and I know you watch this a lot closer than I do, because the NBA, frankly, is a drone to me during the regular season. It just goes on and on and on, and it's sometimes it's ridiculous to me who's losing to who, and it seems so predictable based on the schedule rather than the teams. Sometimes that drives me a little nuts, but there is the good news there, and that is that despite having to trade Paul George away, this team right now, I think they'd have the fifth or the sixth seed in an East that's got a couple pretty good teams right now.
Not so fast, my friend. They're tied for fourth with Detroit in the East.
I think
17 and 13.
I
saw it this morning.
Because you get your three divisions. I know where you're at. The one division has a crappy leader.
The whole East is what I'm looking at right now.
Yeah. But
so, but there's
but,
like,
but the point being, they're four games over 500 at this point in time, and everybody thought they were going to stink.
It did. Yeah, they're playing great. There's them and Detroit have the same record. Then you got Milwaukee, half a game behind there, and somebody else a half a game. I mean, there's like four or five of them bunched up real close. This is fantastic, and they still probably should, instead of being 17-13, I still maintain they should be 19-11. They lost two huge leads. One in New York and another one, the other game I can't remember. I couldn't remember last week. Should have went and looked it up. But, yeah, they're playing great. They're entertaining. Still, a lot of people aren't going to Bankers Live to watch them. Yeah. But their TV revenue spots are up 35%.
Well, I guess there's some good
people
news.
People are tuning in. But, it looks like two completely polar opposites between just down the street from one another from right now. Kevin Pritchard looks like the executive of the year after pulling off what he did, and everybody in the league thought he'd got fleeced. Well, you know what? Rumors are now trade deadline's coming up. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City might move Paul George because they know he's not going to stay.
Might as well, right?
And they're below 500 or right at 500 and struggling to get in the playoffs. Why not get something for him that maybe they can even keep? So we'll see. I mean, interesting times in Indianapolis.
Well, talk to me about this because, you know, the obvious story is the step up for Victor Oladipo. But before we talk about that, Miles Turner was supposed to be the guy that this team was built around. He's second in the team in scoring. I mean, he's 14.5 points a game. He's not, you know, disappearing. He's been hurt a little bit. But talk to me about what you've seen out of Miles Turner. Still very, very young. But again, when this was all talked about, it was, this is going to be Miles' team. Miles is what you build everything around. He's going to be the reason everybody's going to want to be here. Yeah, all that sort of thing. He's going to, you know, he's going to turn dominant. That sort of thing. He's not dominant. Not dominant by any stretch yet. And it's early. I mean, he doesn't need to be yet. But assess him and where he kind of stands with this organization, because I don't hear a lot about Miles Turner right now.
No, he's a good player. Had a decent game last night. He's a shooter. He wants to be on the perimeter. Now, he can be your shot blocker. You know, we talked about him a little bit last week, and the main thing is he's just 21 years old. He's got muscle. He's got weight to gain. He's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger.
He looks thicker.
I mean, he does. He already does.
He does.
Since the time he came here. Yeah. This is his third season.
Yep.
I mean, they are, you know, they know what to do to. And plus, you know, as a young man, just as you mature, you are going to gain muscle mass, and they're going to do it in the right way. But right now. A good caller, our buddy John, called last week, and he says, what do you see the Pacers missing? And Glass and I both agreed that it was just a big guy in the post that's not afraid to stick his nose in there. Mm. Now, I think Sabonis is that guy. Mm. He can do a lot of things, and I like Sabonis. But Glass and I said, yeah, a big guy. We don't care if he scores. We got to do this. We want somebody to help, you know, let Miles sneak up from behind and block shots. But this guy's ready to get the rebound. He's ready to muscle up with the older guys. And John says, Dale Davis from the Pacer past. And exactly. And we said, yeah, you're right. That's what the Pacers needed, Dale Davis. Thought Al Jefferson might provide that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just not so sure now that Al has played so many years and he's just beat down.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't even have him active most of the time. So Miles Turner, he can pick and pop. He can hit the three. Hit a lot of mid-range shots last night in the Brooklyn game. He's going up against Al Horford. They're already playing right now. I haven't had time to even check a score, but they're playing the Celtics tonight at Bankers Life. So we'll see how he does there, because Al Horford's a similar style player as he is. Only Al Horford's probably 30 years old, 29, and he's built as big as he's ever going to get, and is still fast. He can shoot the threes.
Celtics are up 31-15 minutes to go in the first quarter.
So Miles Turner's got a long way to go. But, you know, Vic was ready to take a leap. He played on a bad team in Orlando, and they didn't know where to play him.
Yeah.
Is he a point guard? Is he the two guard? Is he just a wing?
Right.
Then they decide to trade him, and he gets sent to the black hole.
Right.
He still, in last year, he averaged, 16, 17 points a game and had a decent year. Shot the three a little bit more and got, you know. But I think this summer he got himself in shape. He loves Indiana. I mean, he came here and had a great 3-year college career, won a Big Ten championship, became the darling of everybody, and was a National Defender of the Year before he went pro and got taken second. And I think he just likes being here. And, you know, whereas Paul George never really, you know, he was the second fiddle to other people for several years, and then he got a couple of chances to be his team, his guy, his town, and he just didn't care.
Yeah.
And Vic's embracing that. After they beat Cleveland the other night, I read somewhere that he was in the Pacers practice gym shooting. They ended up letting a bunch of people in there to see him, and he stayed and signed autographs for an hour after that game was long over.
Is, in your mind, is this the real Victor Oladipo as an NBA player, or is he just simply on an unbelievable streak right now? Is the change invigorated him in a short term, and this is all going to kind of come back down to a little bit of reality? Or is he potentially this kind of star? I mean, he's averaging, 23 points a game?
About like what Paul George did last year.
I just had
something
it in front
like that,
of me.
Yeah.
Like I lost him. It's 23, 24 points a game.
Yeah, no, you're right. Great question. I'd like to see it sustained. I do know this summer he spent a lot of time training with a certain person that kind of said, hey, you know, I got to get this together. He changed his diet a little bit, changed the way he worked out. Obviously, he's hoisted a lot of threes because he feels very comfortable doing it, and he's hitting a good percentage.
He throws up 6.5 a game.
I can't answer
43% that. From back there.
That's fantastic. I can't answer that yet because I'm hoping that this is what we're going to get. And if he continues to build some other players around him, maybe he doesn't have to hit 23 or 4 a game, but a consistent 20. Let Miles Turner pick up a little slack. Maybe draft another player. Maybe, you know, Lance picks it up. I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure – they're sure enjoyable to watch. They're never out of a ball game.
Mm.
This game tonight, they're not out of. They'll make a run. It'll be close at some point. But the Celtics have just got so much talent and much depth.
And even without Hayward.
Gordon Hayward. Yeah. And so we'll see. I hope this is the Vic that we can watch for the next, you know, 7 or 8 years, 8, 9 years, however much he plays. I hope he stays here because he's great to watch.
So back to Miles Turner real quick. Is he a four, basically?
I think so, yeah.
He needs a physical body next to him, really, to be his best.
I think what's going to end at some point, if we don't pick up somebody else to man that middle, and you're going to see him and Sabonis in a lineup together. Mm-hmm. Maybe not this year. But there's going to be a time, because to be honest, Bad Thad Young is a small power forward as it is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the shooting range or defensive capabilities to play a three. But in today's they just don't have positions hardly anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does something different. I mean, look at the Warriors. They don't have a center. I mean, Zaza stinks, but yeah. As soon as they take him out, they're playing
four wings
and a point guard. And, you know, yeah, Green might be the power forward at 6'6".
Yeah.
So it's positionless basketball. The Pacers aren't there. But, you know, at some point, and you hear it on the indie stations a lot, talk radio, every time they end up with Sabonis in there with Miles, people are salivating. It's just like, hey, let's see these two play more together. And the Pacers are in a really nice position right now, when last year the sky was falling when Paul George said he wasn't coming back.
Well, no question. I mean, yeah. they were, 500, barely got in the playoffs, exited quickly. And
they went 5 out of 6 to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, we were certain that they were doomed to lottery, mm-hmm. you know, in one of the worst teams. And you know, the trade only brought Oladipo and Sabonis. But there's been some other moves that were put in around this.
Absolutely.
Who the hell is Bojan Bogdanovic? Because he doesn't get talked about nearly enough. He's your third leading scorer. He plays 33 minutes a game. He scores 14 points a game. You know, from day one, he's come in the door and has been a big-time contributor and just doesn't get talked about a hell of a lot.
Yeah, he averaged like 17 or 18 at Brooklyn last year. I don't know how they found him. I don't know if he had been there the year before and Thad Young had played with him and thought, hey, if this guy's available, he can help us stretch the floor. He can put the ball on the floor. He'll rebound. He stinks playing defense. But you know what? They've been putting him on the best three every night.
Hmm.
Or he's guarded LeBron. He's guarded he was in a game the other night. I was like shocked that they were who they were putting him on, and thinking, well, it might have been Carmelo. I don't know, which probably everything disses Carmelo nowadays, so he probably wasn't happy.
Yeah.
But no, great acquisition. And then the other one's Darren Collison for his second trip in Indy.
That's right.
And this guy is just like born again. It's like he is doing everything well. Again, he's small. He's 6 foot probably.
Right.
6'1" maybe. Him and Vic are probably one of the smallest backcourts in the league other than Portland. But he's playing great. And then the last acquisition is the kid from Toronto who played at Texas. Now I'm going to forget it. Number 6.
Corey Joseph?
Yeah, I love Corey Joseph. Thank you. I knew the number. I was just thinking about him this afternoon, doing a little prep here, figuring maybe we'll get to some Pacer. But Corey Joseph has just been outstanding off the bench. At times, they're playing him and Vic, and they've played him and Vic and Collison some together with a couple of bigs. It's interesting to watch. We haven't even seen Glenn Robinson III play yet.
Yeah.
And neither one of us has mentioned Uncle Lance yet either.
That's right.
And he's not been playing badly, but he's not getting his minutes probably that he would like to get. But he had a decent game.
But you're not hearing about it.
No.
I mean,
that's right.
That was always the question with Lance is, are you going to hear about stuff if it's not working out with Lance?
Exactly.
You're not hearing about it. You're hearing about how people like the spark that he gives.
And I think he enjoys winning, and he's here, and he's like an elder statesman too. And I just think they're all having fun. It's like they all have a chip on their shoulder. They all seem to have something to prove to everybody, whether it's the Pacers, the NBA, themselves, And this is all these discarded parts, with the exception of Miles Turner.
Right.
Everybody is a discarded part that's on this team.
Very interesting. The unfortunate part about that is that the Island of Misfit Toys cannot win anything in the NBA, and we all know this. So what can and do the Pacers have to do at this point in time? Or is this a play-out-the-year kind of situation? Because it's only 30 games in. You got 82 games in total. You know, it's great that they're playing well. You know, Indiana will – fans want you to win. I mean they do. Yeah. They do. But, I mean, at least they'll enjoy a team that plays their butt off, and this team is doing that, and they're likable. But in the East, they're toast. I mean, they are. I mean, give them credit for being a nice mashed together group. Looked like maybe it'd be mismatched, but seems to be playing really well together. But let's be real. I mean, they can't get through anybody in the East playoffs the way they are right now, can they?
They're 2-0 against Cleveland.
They're 30 games into an 82 game season.
Saying,
nobody cares about December.
Against Cleveland.
I get that part.
LeBron
doesn't care about December.
Toronto's better than them. Obviously, Boston's better than them. Cleveland on paper, mm-hmm. and the record wise is better than them.
I mean, Cleveland, I can at least see. Obviously, LeBron will take over whenever he can, but at least you got an age factor there.
Yeah.
Where maybe you catch him, surprise him. But
I don't see them doing anything this year unless that Dale Davis-like bruiser that comes up available somehow. Mm-hmm. Somebody that's decent, that, you know, is hopefully has a little bit more offense than Dale Davis did.
Yeah.
You know, Dale, I love you, but let's put it this way. If it wasn't a dunk, you weren't doing it.
Yeah, right.
But I don't see him doing anything because they're winning. They're still getting used to playing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the goal right now is number one. I mean, I told people last summer I didn't think we'd make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to eat those words because I think we are now. Let's hope there's no injuries, nothing crazy goes on between now and then, and just see where we fall. Because the East, like I said, you got really the big two, and then Toronto's next, and then there's about four teams that are equal, and that would be Detroit, probably the Knicks, Milwaukee, and us.
Is this team more likely to go find somebody to help? And I don't mean a superstar, but to go find a piece to help, or is it more likely to be selling a Thad Young for a draft pick at the trade deadline?
I don't know. Kevin Pritchard built an unbelievable team at Portland when he was there. So he just got started.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought in, we've already discussed everybody that he's brought in and gotten going. He could do either. I don't know how many more years Thad's got on his contract. If this is his last year here, that he might get something for him to somebody with, as an expiring contract deal and get something decent. Or maybe send Mighty Joe Young and him somewhere. I don't know. It's possible.
We're almost out of time. But TJ Leaf, NBA player?
Four
years from now?
Maybe. Not this year. Maybe not next year.
Maybe ever?
I'm not sure. I don't think I'd have gone pro if I was him.
Fort Wayne Mad Ants. Learn the bus routes.
He can do that.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. Don't go anywhere. We're going to turn you over to Monday Night Football. Atlanta is at Tampa Bay. They're going to kick off around 8:30, but we got pregame coming up here in just a couple minutes. And be sure to tune in Wednesday. Glass and I will be back here on Wednesday. You've been in the zone.